VentureCast.
One of the things close to my heart is our letter writing guide. Our letter writing program. It seems like a small thing to say, hey, write a letter, but it really does change how you see things. Because if I had have had people when I was incarcerated sitting there as it legalized and I'm seeing it on the news and I'm sitting there like, what about me? If I had have known that there were people out there who gave a fuck about what about me, it would have changed how I moved. It would have changed my outlook on the rest of my time. But unfortunately, I didn't know of anybody, so there was no one. So we have this letter writing program. We're in dispensaries. We work with our brands. Anybody really who wants to amplify that and write prisoners, we have that available. We digitalized it on to make it as easy for people, because I know everybody's not old school like me and they don't want to write a letter by hand. I happen to like a handwritten letter. But other than that, it's really easy. You can go on your phone, you can go on your laptop, pop it out and submit it.
Welcome, fellow Lushes. Come on in, pull up a bar stool, and enjoy some cocktails with Dimples and the Beard.
Anyways, can you open things? Can you please? Can you please? I would like to take a drink of my cocktail, but the bar is not open.
Bar is not open.
So I don't know that it's legal.
So back off. Bar is not. Oh, illegal. Illegal.
I'm waiting. I'm waiting.
The tavern's now open. How is the spicy mango?
Maybe a tinge of the too spicy. No,
it's cayenne pepper.
It's pretty good. It'll balance out as the ice melts a little bit. But
cayenne pepper is good for your blood.
Sphincter.
And sphincter.
Sphincter, not sphincter.
Did I say sphincter?
Yes. It's good for you. Sphincter. Anyway, welcome back.
He's delicious.
To another.
Oh, that's good.
Special episode.
It is. It is a special one. It's a
Cocktails with Dimples and me, the beard.
Is it?
I just felt more important tonight.
Wow.
And me, the beard.
Well, then have at her.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's all about you tonight.
All right. So tonight we're talking to
not gonna be out all night.
Stephanie Shepherd, who is involved with the
world famous comedian, actress, movie star, singer, songwriter.
Oh, it's the wrong name. I don't know what you're doing right now. Was this a bit?
I don't know.
You're fucking up the intro to our guest on purpose.
I'm just fucking around.
This is supposed to be an important episode.
Well, yeah, you get to fuck around a little bit.
No, you got to treat this one with the respect it deserves.
When we get on air, well, until then, fuck off.
Yeah, no, Stephanie's part of the Last Prisoner Project, which is doing everything they can to get out all of the cannabis.
Wrongfully.
Convicted, yeah, cannabis incarcerations. Especially, I am curious, like, and it's a question we have to ask her. I'm curious, you know, obviously the opinion of somebody in her position, I'm sure, is that it should be federally legal recreationally everywhere, but it's not.
Right. It's not.
It's not. So what about, you know, people who are in states where it's still illegal? What is the, you know, I mean.
Well, that or, I mean, are they just focusing on.
Mm-hmm.
States that legal, well, they should have been released already.
And
we'll see how that goes. Yeah.
We came to know of Stephanie through our friend Ashley Hobbs, who mentioned them on the last time she was on an episode of Cocktails with Dimples of the Beard. She mentioned them. And we looked into them and thought if they were willing to come on and talk with us, we would love to spread the news, spread the message. So,
because every little bit helps. And we'll find out more about how we can contribute, donate, or join.
People could
join forces.
People could donate to us too, you know. That's a thing now. We do have a little super thanks sticker up there on the YouTube. So if somebody enjoyed this content, they could go boop and send us money.
You can. Feel free. We will not reject it.
I mean, not that we need it. We are making money just hand over fist now. What? I've never understood that saying. What does that saying mean?
Hand over fist.
Anybody got any idea what that saying means?
So if someone's giving me money, hand over fist, you grab the item.
So you have no idea. You were just trying to...
I'm trying to figure it out.
You were yes-anding that bad boy?
Good job. To figure it out.
Good job. Yeah, I don't understand. That's one I don't understand. Fernando, get on that.
Google that shit.
We'll have you an answer in 13 episodes.
There's her.
Is that going to be our new gang that's sign?
Shirt. Yeah.
Oh, that's a shirt?
Hand over fist.
Because we want to make money hand over fist?
With this dollar spitting out.
Okay. Get that tattoo on your chest.
I got room. I got so many tattoos on my chest.
Show us. Pictures or it didn't happen.
You don't need them going crazy. Well, maybe they'll donate.
Okay. Look at, you can't see it from all the way back there. I went all balls out.
He did.
I got this tattooed to my hand. This nice little martini glass because I believe in our brand.
Sippy sip. Sippy sip.
Where's your tattoo?
On my chest. It's big not glass there. Right here.
It's not there.
Martini's right here.
Where's my name? Right,
the glass.
My name
goes down. Big old martini glass. So when I take up my shirt, the ladies can drink me.
Okay. Can you do your?
Excellent.
Try and draw them back.
If you like that comment, leave me a return comment. Yeah. About that, subscribe, share, do all that stuff. Comment about my drinking comment.
And go tell all your stoner friends to watch, and let's help save some stoners. You know, let's help get some stoners out of jail.
And check out Ask Ashley. I just want to say Ash Askley. I fucked them both up.
I always want to say Ash Askley.
I never want to ask.
I thought you were going to say, I always want to say ass, Ashley.
That's only when I'm all fucked up.
Yeah.
Then the ass comes out.
There's our, yeah. If you haven't watched an episode of Ask Ashley yet, that is hard to say.
You're not, right.
It is hard to say.
You know, friend of ours, if you haven't watched an episode.
But you're a friend of mine. It takes stoners a little while to get motivated. Right. So we're only 4 episodes in. Stoners are like, when they get to 10, I'll think about it. So, but we're there. We recorded 5. 5 will be coming out soon. So,
you got a friend in me.
You got a friend in me.
You got a friend in me.
I think we just got
Toy Story.
It is. Pretty sure we just got.
Because stoners love Toy Story.
Do they?
Absolutely. They freak out. Think it's like real life.
Oh. No. But
then they go talk to their toys and expect them to talk back. Sometimes they do talk back.
They're sex toys.
Some have things to say.
That's got a nice little kick to it. I like it. You did good.
Thanks.
You did good.
Looks like pee.
It kind of looks like Mountain Dew. Yes. So, you know, I like it.
Mango lemonade, spicy mango lemonade and vodka.
I wonder if we could get Dew the Dew to sponsor us.
Cayenne.
Do you know how fat I would get if Mountain Dew sponsored us? I'd just be rifling back like 4 Mountain Dews an episode.
We get Tito's to sponsor us. We get Mountain Dew to sponsor us. And we just drink that every time.
When I was down in Orlando, I went first day I'm down there. I go to Walmart to grab some some groceries for the room. Just so I got some snacks and drinks, whatever. And I see a 12 pack of hard Mountain Dew.
Oh, geez.
So I'm like, all right, I got to try this.
So you got a 12 pack of it?
Yeah. Yeah, I got a 12 pack. I drank one can, left the rest in that fridge in the Airbnb.
Holy cow.
It was so bad.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm just like, hopefully whoever,
the cleaning people
will appreciate this. So
what was infused in the Mountain Dew? Was it normal?
It was Mountain Dew. It was, I don't know how they made it alcohol, but
wow,
it was alcohol, you know.
Yeah.
It was supposed to taste like Mountain Dew, but it was like,
Did the cleaning crew loved you?
I hope so.
They went in there like, We'll clean this room in no time.
I know. I hope so.
Hey, get to the next one. Nope. Still cleaning this room.
Yeah, I didn't leave a fucking tip. So that was the
tip. That's a tip right there. Just the tip. Well, we should never leave a pretty lady waiting.
So we won't. Stephanie Shepherd, director of advocacy now for the Last Prisoner Project.
We'll see her advancements. She's moving up.
I forgot. Without further ado, Stephanie Shepherd.
And there we are. Hello.
Hi, guys. How are you?
We are great. How are you doing?
Doing good. Glad to be here.
Yeah, thank you so much. So
happy to have you. Thanks for joining us.
I was like, I have to be on time. I missed the last time. So.
No, you know what?
No problem.
We have had the time zone issue happen before. It's not the first time. So, right.
So
it's, yeah. And you know, Ashley Hobbs and, with her being in Hawaii, we record episodes with her and we didn't realize that they didn't do daylight savings. So one time we're sitting there for an hour going, what is happening? So it happens.
Where are you guys?
We're in Wisconsin.
Oh, okay.
So
I'm in Sacramento, California. So
okay. So you're up north a little bit in California.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Well, I'm just glad it worked out that you could reschedule and it worked out.
Of course. Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, 1,000%. This is obviously, you know, an important discussion. Sometimes we have some that are just, you know, light and fun, and this one can be too, but it's very important too, as you're now the director of advocacy for Last Prisoner Project. Last time when we were going to talk to you before, I think you were partnership manager or something like that.
Yeah, I was working
update our notes.
I forgot about that. I was partnerships manager. So I worked with the partners, the brands that we work with, the dispensaries we work with. But in some restructuring, I just saw that I kind of was doing both already. So I'm kind of easing into, because the dev team, they're great. They have that. But the advocacy piece is really where my heart is. So.
Yeah.
So congratulations.
Why don't you tell us a little bit more about Last Prisoner Project and what they do and what the mission is and how you got started with them.
Involved. Yeah, that's going to be
most definitely. So Last Prisoner Project, we are a nonprofit organization. We are nonpartisan. We will take help from wherever it comes, because our one mission is to get people who are incarcerated for cannabis out of prison. We do have many different areas. We do policy work, so kind of working at the root of the problem. But in that meantime, there's reentry pieces, there's record clearing pieces. The reentry pieces are pretty special because it's hard when you get out of prison and you don't have anything and you don't have anybody. Or you're just trying to get started, kick-started, navigate what it's like being free, and how I know that. So I know a tiny bit about that.
That was one of the main things I took away when I was looking at the website. Is I'm like, wow, you have a lot of those resources, like you just said, reentry, clear the record, which is huge. I think that's huge. People can falter because they don't know where to go. So really touch on that later about those
of
things.
Of course. So how I know, I served a 10-year prison sentence in federal prison for first-time nonviolent cannabis conspiracy. And I served 9 of those years.
Jesus, God.
I should have had a little bit less, but in prison, good time is the first thing they take away from you when you are bad. So, when you have a 10-year prison sentence looking you in the face, how much worse can it get?
Yeah.
So, you know, when someone says, hey, if you do that, you're going to get in trouble. I'm like, I'm already in prison. Like, I'm already in trouble. Mm-hmm. So you do things that go against the system and that costs you. And the very first thing they take away, oh, you want to do that? We'll take away your good time. Well, you're thinking that's 10 years down the line. What do I care?
Right.
But then you get to that date that you could have been going home. If you hadn't have did this and this and this and this and this and told this, you know, officer this and that. And so
just so you know,
and that.
Cursing is allowed. So,
but I'm just saying, it comes back to haunt you. It's sure. like your past revisiting your present. And so it did take me a little bit longer to get home. And plus I did the drug program, you know, because obviously anything to do with, if you smoke cannabis, clearly you are an addict and you need some sort of intervention. So yeah, that's the only thing out short of, you know, the president letting you out early is the drug program. So for many years, I was like, I'm not doing that. Please. No, you've already made me into a drug dealer. You're not going to make me into a drug addict as well. Like I smoked pot. That's it. But as time goes on, you start losing things and losing people.
Sure.
So my dad was an older man. And I became very intent on getting home to see him. And it was looking dimmer and dimmer for that to happen. So I was like, okay, how do I get home? Fine, sign me up for this drug program.
Sure.
Unfortunately, I didn't make it home
to
see my father. But the drug program, I was just like, anyway, just I want to finish and leave.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. But coming to the Last Prisoner Project, I came to them as they were just kind of ramping up. So when I was sitting in prison, it was probably, you know, in the works, it was probably being thought about, but it wasn't the organization that it is today, obviously. So when I got out, someone connected me with them. I went to their second fundraiser. They had a fundraiser in San Francisco, and I went to that and I met the founders, and I was like, sign me up. Like, what can I do?
Yeah.
Because here I am. I'm out. I'm seeing the industry as it is today. And it's like frustrating. It's triggering. It's infuriating to see. And I'm glad that it's moving in that direction. But there's no way we can allow it to continue to state after state legalize. And people are still serving 60 years life sentences in prison for cannabis. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So all I had at the time was my voice. So being able to share my stories, share my experiences, tell those stories to the people on Capitol Hill and let them know how important this is. And it's not like it's a couple hundred people incarcerated. Who cares?
God, no.
It's tens of thousands of people incarcerated for simple, no violence, nonviolent cannabis offenders doing these heinous, heinous numbers. So I cannot sit back and go, oh, yeah, they're having MJ Impact and they're having Hall of Flowers. And they're having all these really great events that are moving the industry forward for so many people. But then I can't not think about the people who are incarcerated.
Right.
So that's where I started working with Last Prisoner Project and eventually joining their board of directors, because it's also important as the industry moves in the direction they are, as our organization pivots, that we have to have the voice of someone who's gone through it, someone who knows what's up with that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Michael Woods and Edwin Rubens, they all can't be speaking for themselves. So I feel like it's really important that I use any platform and platforms like yours and making these connections to connect with more people on their behalf.
Yeah,
which is great.
It's really going to take the voice of the people to really move the needle and let those in power, those who have that power, see it's okay.
Yeah,
but come on in, the water's fine.
Yeah.
It's like, it's people aren't going to get out and go on this crazy spree of crime and disaster. Oh my god, we let the cannabis prisoners out, now what are they going to do? It's like so really working that fine line and staying nonpartisan and working with the people who want to get it done.
Yeah.
And at this point, I'm neither here nor there. I'm who wants to get this done?
Yeah. Well, and it makes no sense. I mean, marijuana should be a very center of the, you know, I mean, majority wise, when you see any poll, the majority of the population thinks that it should be legal. Mm-hmm. So it's bizarre to me that there's still, I mean, you know, politicians essentially work for who's ever going to pay the most, right? I mean, like, it makes no sense to me that there are still politicians who aren't on the side of just, let's get this thing federally legalized and be done with all this nonsense.
Even if they wanted to look at it from a purely financial standpoint.
Yeah.
You know, it costs a lot of money to incarcerate someone like me.
Right, right.
You know, because it's, you know, $40,000 to $60,000 per inmate a year.
Yeah, a year. Wow.
And a lot of these prisons where people are incarcerated are in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
They sustain the towns that they are in. So there's really no reason, no motivation not to arrest people. Because what are all the people who work in this prison? Where are they going to go?
Yeah.
A lot of them are uneducated. A lot of the staff are uneducated. Yeah. They this was the job. And a lot of places I was in five prisons over my time. I know. You move from one place to another, you get in trouble over here, you move over here. Okay.
I was going to ask, did you move because of the trouble, well, or is that just normal? Not every time.
A couple of times, yes, but not every time. The first time I was in Connecticut in Danbury, and that converted to men because obviously we need more men's prisons. There's just simply not enough. So that converted to men. So they gave us the opportunity to go elsewhere. So I said, well, my whole family's in California. I'd like to go to California. So,
did you get arrested in where were you first?
In New York. I was living in New York.
Okay. So that's.
Yeah. So straight from the courtroom, underground tunnels to the jail at 500 Pearl Street, right up the elevator. Boom. You're there.
Oh,
So they make it easy. You don't even have to leave the building. It's just a straight shot from the courtroom to the jail.
That's nice of them.
They're so thoughtful. And from there, I went to Dublin, California, which is, you know, the creme de la creme of Fermi women's prisons. It's where, like, the celebrity felons go. Like, Aunt Becky from Full House. And
was Felicity Martha Stewart there?
No, she was in Alderson. Okay. But at a camp. But Dublin, it's you know. You have a door. That's unheard of. You have sun decks to tan. It's where Felicity Huffman, is her name? Felicity Huffman?
I think so.
Desperate Housewives. Yeah. She went there over the whole college scandal. So it's the chosen spot for people.
Okay.
And so I went there. It was cool. Great. Had a beef with an older lady over a table. And her plan was, we're going to get in trouble. We're going to go to the SHU, which is a special housing unit, and I'm going to get her kicked out of the unit. Well, little did she know, when she put a separate tee on me, she got me kicked off the entire compound. And a separate tee is saying, I fear for my life. Yeah, because I'm scary, right? she feared for her life, and so they shipped me off to Minnesota.
Jesus, jeez.
I went from California and my Sundex.
Oh no!
To 20 below in Minnesota.
Oh.
So that was that. Then from there, I was like, no, I don't want to get in trouble. So I stayed good, and I got my points low enough to go to a camp because I knew if anything happened to my father, I would need to be able to go on a furlough. Sure. And you can't furlough from mid or anywhere else. So it had to be a camp. So I was good.
Oh.
I mean, I didn't get caught doing anything. And I got sent to a camp, and that's where I went to Victorville in Southern California. And then from there, I was like, I got to get in this drug program, which was in Phoenix. And if you've never had, so I went from Waseca, Minnesota, practically to the polar opposite of the brisk, brisk temperatures of 120.
Oh,
125 at night, Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah, the only place where it gets warmer at night for some reason.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
So I know I've been through it, and that's just really where my passion comes from, because now that I'm out and I'm seeing the industry as it is, it's right. Just, I'm glad that people are inside and can't see.
Yeah.
So how I'm does glad that... it took me to get out to see it.
So how did the, but is your, I don't want to say this, like your arrest, regardless of where you are, still is abided by the New York laws because that's where it happened?
No, it was federal. It was federal. My thing. So federally, there's a few thousand, upwards of a few thousand people incarcerated. Most of the people incarcerated are on the state level. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter. I'm also still on cherry on top, 5 years probation.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. A little sprinkle of love there for them. And one great thing about Last Prisoner Project is we work with pro bono attorneys and to file petitions for release, compassionate release petitions, clemency petitions. So we work with the National Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers, and we match them with people who are trying to get out. Well, once you get out, we were like, what else can we do? We have got this great organization. Well, how about you help us file early termination papers and all down for that. So we've got a really amazing early termination team that works on those. So you can get off early and not have to have that fear of, oh my God, if I get pulled over today, and I report it to my PO, are they going to be in a bad mood? What kind of day are they having? Because any interaction with the police, we have to report it.
Okay.
So really anything that you do, you're always thinking like, is this going to be, how is this going to be seen by probation? Or so having that team working on early termination is great. Unfortunately, New York, they love me so much. My prosecutor loves me so much that she doesn't want to let me go. You know, we tried to get my case transferred. Even if you guys don't want to let her off because you say she owes a forfeiture of $70,000, why don't you just have it transferred and we'll deal with it? Let her be California's problem. No, we love her. We're going to keep her. We're going to fight if you do file those papers for early release. So after going back and forth with the smarter me and the old me would have been like, yeah, file those papers.
Right.
The new me, I'm like, if they file the papers and I poke that bear, what's that going to look like?
Yeah, yeah.
And here I am 3.5 years in, 4 years in. I've done fine thus far. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. Mm-hmm. I'm going to leave it alone and I'm going to ride these papers out.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to become of things, but I just chose to back off at that point and just stay on my path. But for other people, it's been great. People have gotten off early. So that's really that. Some of the programs, being a staff of impacted people, we have other people on our staff who are impacted. And they asked us, like, what do you guys need? What do you need? Tell us your needs. Tell us your desires. And then that's how we try to fit it into our mission.
Yeah.
So one of the important things is some of the programs that we have. One of the things close to my heart is our letter writing guide. Our letter writing program. It seems like a small thing to say, hey, write a letter, but it really does change how you see things. Because if I had have had people when I was incarcerated sitting there as it legalized and I'm seeing it on the news and I'm sitting there like, what about me? If I had have known that there were people out there who gave a fuck about what about me, it would have changed how I moved. It would have changed my outlook on the rest of my time. But unfortunately, I didn't know of anybody, so there was no one. So we have this letter writing program. We're in dispensaries. We work with our brands. Anybody really who wants to amplify that and write prisoners, we have that available. We digitalized it on to make it as easy for people, because I know everybody's not old school like me and they don't want to write a letter by hand. I happen to like a handwritten letter. But other than that, it's really easy. You can go on your phone, you can go on your laptop, pop it out and submit it.
Which and there's a drop down on your website to do that. And to your point, when we were looking around, it you do make it easy.
And we want it to be as easy as possible for people. Yeah. And one of the reasons that's actually great is because in prison, when there's a lockdown, that's the only communication you get. I know someone who is in the prison where the guy just got stabbed, the coach, the pervert coach. Well, he got stabbed up, I guess.
He did. I heard about that.
And someone I know there, they're on lockdown for that. So letters are the only thing that they can get. You can't go to email. You can't use the phones when you're on lockdown. You can't have video visits. You can't have in-person visits. So really, what one person does really can affect the overall thing. And so those letters are the only communication you can get. You always get your mail.
So if I go to the website and I write a letter electronically, and they're not allowed to get emails or electronic, how do they get them then?
They come to me.
Okay.
I print them out on my dandy printer. I hand write the envelopes and I send them that. So they're still getting it snail mail and it's still your letter. It's just kind of
But that's from going you being through that portal. In there to know that to do that. So no, that's great. That's
yeah. And we've actually had people recently, we had someone get out and I was so moved by this. They made a video once they got out showing all the letters that they had received while they were inside and actually brought those out with them. For me, I don't want none of this. You can keep all of it. I don't want anything. You're just headed for the door. So for this person to take that time and make that one of the precious items, the few items that they want to take out those gates with them, it really showed me that it does mean a lot to them.
Yeah, I'm sure. Just that link to the outside has got to feel
right.
It's got to feel good
that somebody gives a shit about people, me to give, you know, to every day or day after day, no nothing, and then a single letter comes. That can be huge for a person that's in there.
I liken it to being on an island. You know, if you were stranded on an island. Do you want to get a bottle with the note that says, we're coming for you. We know you're there. We're looking for you. We're coming for you.
Yeah.
Or we didn't forget about you.
Yeah.
Do you just want to never hear anything?
Yeah.
And if you don't have that support outside, that's what you get. You get nothing. And that kind of rolls over to the other inmates, you know? They're going to treat you a certain way because they see you don't even have anybody outside who cares about you. And then the officers treat you that way. And once they see the officers treat you that way, because they know they can treat you bad because nobody cares.
Yeah.
Fortunately, I had a sister, and my sister always sending magazines, books. At that time, we could get magazines. We could get books in the mail, letters, family photos. If I didn't call home, funny story, the first time I went to the shoe, which was the first week that I was locked up.
First week.
I went to special housing. First week. Like literally the first 3 days. And my sister, when she didn't hear from me, anytime after that first event, when I told her what happened, because she was going crazy and calling the front office, and that helps. They need to know that if we do something to her, we're going to have to deal with some people outside.
Yeah.
So that's what our constituents have. If they tell us that they've done something to them in there, we have the backing of attorneys. We're going to look into it. We're going to do everything we can to just be there for you. So now they're going to think a second time when they want to do something unjust to you while incarcerated. It's already going to be unjust.
Yeah.
Right. But
it's nice
to have that connection.
Oh yeah.
You're not just fighting to get people out. I mean, obviously that's the main goal, but you're also fighting to make sure they're treated humanely while they're there.
Give them hope.
Of course. One of the aspects of the reentry program is support while you're in there. Because people think that prison is free. People think, oh, you have three hots in a cot. A, they're not all hot. That's for sure.
They're probably delicious.
Yes. I heard the cinnamon rolls are good.
Oh, the honey buns. Yeah, any commissary item. But if you're going to that kitchen, man. So
poor thing.
One of the things that we do is we do commissary funding. So that money that we put on their commissary accounts quarterly, buy more food from commissary, more hygiene, because there's, I don't know, they give you things, but they give you nothing. If you give me a towel that is as thin as a paper towel and say, well, we gave you a towel. Come on.
Yeah.
Right.
Or, just the soap that doesn't lather. Think of the worst motel soap you can ever imagine.
And it's worse than
and
that.
Then, yeah. And then it's worse than that.
Yeah.
But we gave you soap.
Yeah.
And then they jingle some dial on the commissary, but that dial is a 40% markup or 20% markup.
Jeez.
So, but you're only making 12 cents an hour. Oh, so Christ. They're charging you more, but at the same time, we're paying you less. Well,
a lot. At that rate, you're going to have to work for 6 years to buy a bar of soap.
Oh yeah. So that's the thing. So we do put money on the commissary accounts of people quarterly.
Something I would have never thought of, which
it's awesome.
It's a great side thing.
Yeah. You know? I mean, I as a small woman, I can eat whatever. And I was still hungry. So I can't imagine going in as a 300 pounder or, you know, a man who lifts weights and all these things. And you just get that tray three times a day. It's not doable. So this money can help supplement with food from commissary, chicken packs or whatever. Also stamps and phone time and emails, everything costs in there. Unless you want to be walking around in your steel-toed boots. You also have to buy shoes.
Jeez.
So it's either your R&D slippers, which are not a thing. No one's wearing those around. Or your steel toes. And if your family doesn't have the wherewithal to give you money to buy boots or tennis shoes, like Timberlands or more comfortable boot or a tennis shoe, you just don't have it.
Wow.
Okay. I think you as well, opening my eyes. I mean, you don't think of all these little details, right. You know.
But having an impacted staff, we are always saying, no, here's what we need to do.
Yeah.
This is an issue. So trying to fill in those gaps for people. And all of that is possible through partnerships. The way I met Ashley through Playboy. Yeah. Shout out to Ashley Hobbs.
Absolutely.
Ashley and I did a Instagram takeover.
Okay.
So Ashley gave up her Instagram for a day, and I got to post what I wanted and put what I wanted and reach out to her huge platform.
Yeah.
And then I got to kind of following Ashley and seeing like, oh, okay, she's down. She's yeah. cool. She's about it. And yep. We've
she's stayed, right there. She's on her wall twice. She's on there twice.
I was nervous about coming on. I'm like, they always have all these like gorgeous playmates and stuff. So
you are gorgeous. Stop it.
Yeah, absolutely. You fit right
I
in.
I was like, I don't know if their listeners are going to be down for me.
Have you seen some of the men we've had on? Believe me.
So I'm better than them, right?
Well, yeah.
But it's through people like Playboy and partnerships like that and using their platforms and their dollars to help us do the work that we do.
Yeah.
And so it's really been great. We also, part of the reentry program, is we give grants to people who come home.
Oh.
So once we've worked with you inside, when you come home, when we first started, it could be anybody if you've ever had a cannabis charge ever. Well, that's a lot of people. And funding was going quickly. So we just have to pivot with what we have. Mm-hmm. So when we do well with donations, we can give to more people. We can do for more people. When we don't, we have to have a little stricter requirement.
Sure.
But our bottom line is helping people who have been impacted or are impacted.
Yeah.
So if you are incarcerated or you have a family member, any of your listeners have a family member who are incarcerated, we have a really easy intake form on our website at lastprisonerproject.org. And people can go there, fill it out like, hey, my brother's incarcerated. Here's his information. Can you reach out to him? And once we go through the initial like intake of that person, like, hey, here's what we do. Nice to meet you. Do you want to be a part of this thing that we're trying to do for you? And they say yes. And that allows us to share their stories and actually put a face to this person who people don't know, but,
yeah.
Put a face to that mystery. And we do grants when they come home. People can get grants up to $5,000 when they get home, because you've been, like for me, I hadn't touched money in 9 years.
Yeah.
I didn't even know there were new dollar bills. So that having that independence and giving that independence back and helping people to feel like, okay, I've been dependent on someone else for so long, and now I have something that I can go out and I can take my child to go school shopping if that's what I want to do with the money, or the needs, the buying of the used car. You know, a big thing for me coming home was to take my sister out to lunch. You know,
it's the least.
For 10 years, because I was on a year of pretrial, so that was another part of it. But being able to do those things, it kind of helps you're getting grounded and feeling normal again, and being able to say, no, let me pay for the Panda Express. I know you spent thousands of dollars keeping me okay in prison, but I got this Panda Express.
I'll get your orange chicken. I got it. It's on me.
It means a lot.
But that's big. That's big to feel normal again, to feel part of the society again.
Yes, definitely.
I'm curious about your, like, the reentry day. You know, you were in for 9, almost 10 years. Yeah. You know, what is the percentage of excitement to the percentage of fear? Because there's got to be some trepidation about going back into the real world, because it's changed in 10 years. The world has changed substantially.
You want to know something that's crazy is During my time of being in custody, I flew a commercial from one prison to another.
Okay.
When I was locked up, I was allowed to go to my father's funeral services.
That's good.
And well, I
good.
Went, I yeah. flew, I flew alone, but I'm still in custody. And when I was going from one prison to another, one prison to the camp, they allowed me to fly commercial. And at that point, I probably hadn't been out alone in the world without anyone in 7 years almost. Wow. It was probably almost my 7 year mark. I got driven to the airport by another inmate, town driver. That's always safe, right? So this is how dangerous the inmates are. This is how much security really means to them. Yeah, there's an inmate driving other inmates places. So I got dropped off at the airport to go to Victorville. And as I'm at the airport, I'm noticing how uncomfortable I feel. First of all, I'm wearing my prison sweats.
Okay. Oh, gosh.
I'm wearing gray Russells in public, or gray Champions. And I've got a mesh bag. I've got no cell phone. You see everybody in the airport's on their cell phone. It was the most uncomfortable feeling. I thought I was going to immediately feel this sense of freedom when I was out of their sight.
Sure.
And you are so, it's almost like a, like, almost like a battered syndrome.
Yeah.
Like, even though it was so bad, I couldn't, I felt nervous. I felt like I was still being watched. I felt like I couldn't wait to get back to prison because that's where I was normal.
Yeah.
That's where everybody, everybody looks like me. Everybody's in the same shoes as me. And I remember going through Dallas and stopping there and transferring and seeing, like, Dallas is a pretty bougie place. Seeing all the women there looking, you know, on point. And here I am, just, I felt so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And they gave me $14. $14 at the airport to travel with. And I had to fight for that. They wanted to give me $7.
You can't get a bottle of water at
I had to fight for that. And I think I got one meal. It was between, okay, am I going to buy this little split of wine with my $14 and chug it? And buy, so I, when I get to the next place, I'll be straight. Or do I buy food? And so I was like, okay, I guess I better buy food. And I was like, Arby's, that sounds good. Like, I haven't had Arby's in so long. And I got it. My meal came out to about 13 and some change.
Jeez.
Yes. I was like, what? This is Arby's, $13.
You should be able to get five for five.
Oh, my goodness. I got it. It was the worst meal ever. Oh. I was so, it was like, can you imagine being so turned up and hyped about something that you haven't had and have been dreaming about something like this for years?
And then it sucks.
It sucked. So but I did.
You'd rather not have had it. You're like, I don't even want, I wish I didn't even have it.
You know? I should have had the wine. I sent the I sent the receipt back to the warden, who I had to fight for that $14, and said, if you had have sent me here with $7 like you wanted to do, I wouldn't have been able to eat all day. So that whole experience of being out and free, it felt so, like I wanted to go back. I was like, where is this plane? I was more than happy to go back.
Yeah.
And it took me some time to think, is this what it's going to be like once I get home? Am I going to feel this way? But once I got home and I eased my way into it, and even today, I'm over 3 years, almost 4 years out now, I still feel it because I'm still on paper. So I still feel like anything I do is going to be scrutinized and can be held against me, and I could go back and do the rest of my time, which right. I don't want to do, obviously. So even if you're driving legally, doing everything legally, it's very, you're always wondering.
Always looking over your shoulder.
Always. Oh my gosh, when a cop pulls up next to me, even though I'm licensed and insured and everything's fine, oh my goodness, I knuckle the steering wheel because I'm like, what if they just want to pull me over for something? Mm-hmm. And then I have to report it. And then, you know, my probation officer's having a bad day so it's an ongoing thing for sure.
Could it be something, that minimal that they could take you back for a traffic stop?
Oh yeah. Well, they could, say, well, what were you doing? Well, we can reevaluate it. It's really up to them.
Jesus.
It is really up to them. We actually worked with, there's a TV show on Starz, really great TV show called Blind Spotting. And its storylines revolve around people in incarceration and families in incarceration. David Diggs from Hamilton's one of the creators.
Raphael, oh, I love Paul. David.
Oh, he's amazing. Well, they have a character on the show who has a cannabis conviction, and they reached out to us and said, you know, we'd love to meet with you guys. So we're thinking, oh, who's it going to be? So we take this meeting with, you know, their impact person, Sam, and we take the meeting and we go on and we look and they pop on. David pops on. And I'm like,
yeah,
but I mean he's so much more than that, but that's what most people know him from. So they talked to us and they asked us about how can they help. They've been extremely supportive to us, sharing their platform and you know, letting people know how they can donate and what they can do and speaking up for those incarcerated people because they get it.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. The show's based out of Oakland. So if you haven't seen it, it's called Blind Spotting. It's an amazing show. It's in a second season. And we need people like that, though, to reach out and say, hey, like, what can we do? Because we're a relatively small org. And,
yeah.
And that's huge. I mean, a show like that's a lot of exposure for you. That's awesome.
And I mean, like you said, he's great. The whole team. Yeah. They were amazing and taking time out of their premieres and sharing their platforms at South by Southwest. And
oh, wow.
Yeah. Really amazing people. We have a number of ambassadors.
Yes.
Yes.
We definitely noticed some names on that list of ambassadors.
We've got some pretty decent people, who believe in the work that we do. And not only that, our partners, like I said, like our partnerships with Playboy and our Dutchie and all of these great brands, Farmer and the Felon and Evidence. And there's just so many people in the industry who want to help and understand the privilege that they have to be able to open up an amazing dispensary like Woods. You know, Woody Harrelson's dispensary in West Hollywood. And that's a privilege to be able to do that and not be afraid of being arrested.
Yeah.
When, you know, there's people serving life sentences and 60 years. And it's just crazy. It's very hard to wrap my head around. So when I got home, life was very different.
Yeah.
You know, what's funny, I had just before I got arrested, I had just bought a new laptop. Like the week before I got arrested, right? And so my sister had to pack up my place there and she took all my stuff home. And I'm thinking when I get home, I'll just use the same laptop. So obsolete.
Oh, yeah.
And I picked it up. I'm like, why is this so heavy? It never felt heavy before.
Well, yeah, I can't imagine, like, the change in cell phones over that course of time had to be huge. Like,
I had a BlackBerry. Okay, I had a BlackBerry when I went to prison, and that was the creme de la creme, you know.
Oh, I know. Right. I love that phone. I miss that phone. That was
with the ball falling out. Oh, yeah. Falling out every 2 months.
Yeah, I can remember buying extra rolling balls because they would get dirty and then it wouldn't work. Yeah.
So it was life in general was different. I mean, I was talking to someone today who's recently home. And he's trying to, you know, get on FaceTime. And he's like, sorry, I'm sorry. I don't know.
Right.
Please apologize. I'm not up on this yet. I've only been out 100 days, you know. And I'm like, he has no idea. I get it, brother. I get it. So after we started talking, and so he was like, okay, so you understand how I'm feeling. I was like, take your time.
Yeah.
Like,
but that's a comfort level right there, just to have someone say, I get it.
Yeah.
I went through it as well.
Yeah. It's really, for some people, like anything you do, you're going to have haters, right? So no different. I don't care if it's people doing good for other people. There's still going to be people who hate on you. And I always say, I don't care. Anybody can say anything about the work that we do. What matters to me is the people we help.
Yeah,
right.
That's all I care about. So if you can't step your game up with what you're doing, not my problem.
Right.
There's no traffic in this lane. Like, I really care about the constituents. And I want to be on the right side of things, you know?
And you are.
And one day we will, it'll happen. And when it does happen, we all will be on the right side of things.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. So. It seems like it's just grown since you got, came aboard 3.5 years ago. It was
a pretty small crew when they first started. It was like two ladies and two guys with ideas, and these two ladies doing everything, and then recruiting a friend of theirs. Hey, do you want to help us with this? And to the point where we're like, to do this work, you can't part-time it. Right. You can't half-ass it. You have to go all in. It's not something you can just volunteer for.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It takes a lot of time to do that. So the fact that we have a decent, a small but mighty group of people think that we're much bigger than we are. So, but it's just that our policy team, the reentry team, our development team, they're all like powerhouses in their own little.
It's all like, it takes.
Corners.
It's all you need. It's all you need.
I'm curious what you guys do. I mean, I assume you help. Do you just help federal prisoners or do you help people at the state level?
State level for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. That's actually where we kind of focus because that's the majority.
Okay.
Of who's incarcerated and working in different states. It's great to be able to do that. But the federal piece is the piece that really it's the easiest.
Sure.
President Biden, we have a campaign right now called the Pen to Write History.
Yep.
And the Pen to Write History is really calling on President Biden to do this, make an example for the governors and let people see that once these non-violent cannabis prisoners come home, they're going to get on with their lives. They're not, it's not like they were in there for murder and they may get out and murder again.
Right.
What they're in there for is legal. For the majority of this country. So as each state legalizes, I feel like what I'm seeing is people are forgetting. It's becoming so normalized that people are forgetting that no, people are still incarcerated for this.
Yeah.
So that should have been an automatic, like, okay, it's legalized now. Open those doors that's chapter two, open the doors for them, move on to the next thing. But to your point, it's sad. They're getting forgotten.
Yeah, they're getting forgot about. So that's something that we cannot let happen. So I spent 420 in Washington, D.C., like going senators to senators' offices, having these face-to-face conversations, you know, trying to connect with the senators who want to push this forward. And so, you know, for me, you can't even start talking about safe banking if you're not talking about release, retroactive release. So I don't want to hear if that's where, is that your concern? We have a problem.
Did you feel like a lot of them were just snowballing you, or that they were sincere about helping?
They're politicians. I don't know. I don't know well, the answer to that. Okay. They have the job, so they're good.
They're good at it. They're good at the snowballing.
So I'm hoping not, but
you can only hope.
If you can stand there and listen to my story and listen to the things that I lost and look at the pictures of people and their families who are there for the very thing that you could have delivered to your front door.
Right.
You've got to be a real big piece,
yeah.
You know, to want to, you know, snowball me and say, I care about that. I care about that. And, and you don't.
Yeah.
I mean, some of
I can do is tell.
Right. Unfortunately, some of them have, some of them, I don't know how many you met with, but you know, some of them are that way and there's nothing you can
do about
it. And
I know the difference.
Good.
But one thing I try to do when I do have these meetings is hopefully when the topic comes up, and it will, what side do you want to be on? And I hope they can flash back to the conversation we had.
Yeah.
And and I it was very strange. Last time we were in DC, I had a conversation with a senator. And it was a large group of people on lobby day, and he came outside because the office was full. So he came outside, and after, you know, a bunch of people talked to him, and I spoke to him, and we had this weird quiet moment, even though we're in, you know, this big place with all these people around us, everybody quieted and everybody let me talk, and everybody just stood and watched as I told some of the things that I wanted the senator to know. And he stared in my eyes and I was crying. I think he wanted to cry. And he is one of the good guys.
Yeah.
But I want him to flash back to those words and flash back to that moment.
Yeah.
And I want to be that person when people don't know anybody who's been impacted.
Yeah.
I'm here to tell you what it's like to be impacted and what it's like for our constituents to have to go through this, and the children of our constituents. That's another thing. We do family support. Okay. So if you're the child of someone incarcerated, we have some children who are in college now. We have a constituent. She's in her third year of law school. Her father's been in prison for cannabis for 15 years. He has a 22-year sentence. So she's the type of person that we want to support. And she's in the third year of law school. She's an amazing young woman who hadn't seen her father in many, many years. And we partnered with Be Noble, a brand. And Bernard Noble was sentenced. So he did about 7 years in prison. So he understands what it's like. He got out, he partnered with another larger MSO. And so he has his brand. So under his brand, they actually made a donation. And part of that donation, they designated for her and her sister to go see their dad.
Oh,
first time in a long time.
Wow.
And and it was so that they vlogged along the way and stayed in contact with me. And I'm glad that I am a part of her life, because She was going to visit him, and I told her, they're going to mess with you. Okay, they're going to try to prevent the visit. They always do. And her dad's in West Virginia.
Yeah.
So you already know what that's like for a black, you know, inmate in West Virginia.
Yeah.
So I said, one thing they'll mess with you with, they'll mess with you. They'll pick anything, your clothes, this, that.
Jeez.
Have a change of clothes in the car. Bring two. So she and her sister went that morning. And they call me crying at like 6 in the morning, telling me he told her she couldn't come in. So I had to calm her down and tell her, did you listen to me? Did you bring extra clothes? Yes. Oh, okay. Change, go back again. She changed, she called me. They denied me again.
Huh?
I said, oh no. She said, but I brought one more outfit just in case. So she goes back out to the car, changes again. And I didn't hear back from her, but they called me in tears. And that's, it's like furthering the punishment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like they're already incarcerated, but now you're going to keep twisting it, that knife, and making their daughters not be able to get in. And they haven't seen this man in a year. It was Father's Day weekend.
Oh. I mean, making others suffer. That's,
yeah,
that's even worse.
Because I experienced that in my time. So I knew they would take anything. My sister had been wearing the same outfit for years because she finally found one that they didn't nitpick. And that was her visiting outfit.
What are
that? And they've even turned her away for that. Like so many people leave the visiting room to run to Walmart to get a different shirt or a different pair of pants or. And it's unnecessary.
Insane.
So I was glad I was there for them and could kind of talk to them and be there and comfort them and let them know this is not going to stop you.
Yeah.
You're going to see your dad. And they there ended up seeing him for 3 days. And
ugh.
it was just amazing feeling. But that's kind of my connection to it.
Yeah.
So but we're not a regular organization with just random people.
Yeah.
But that shows the impact you're having because without you, they would have turned away and went home and said that it's a lost cause.
Yeah.
So it's those little things that sometimes gets you to break down that wall. So.
And that really matters because we are not just an organization. We are an organization of very passionate people and we all have different reasons.
Yeah. Yeah.
For that passion. But it's
the same goal.
Yeah. And all, all come together 100%. To,
yeah.
Wow. Well.
Sorry, guys. I'm just running my mouth.
Cheers. Oh, God.
Oh, no. Nobody can talk about it better than you can. I mean, that's. Oh, by the way, yeah, we do have spicy mango lemonade and vodka. So,
wow.
Yep. Yes. You got it.
You know, I went and back
cheers
to
Trader you
Joe's
for
and
all
they
you
were
do.
Sold out.
Can I just. Please, cheers to you, because that story was amazing.
Cheers, guys.
And I'm hoping to hear many more stories for years to come.
Yeah.
You.
Unfortunately, we still live in a backwards state where there's no legality to it. There's no medical legality. There's no recreational. And, we can ponder why. I really do believe it's because the Tavern League in this state is so strong that they don't want to lose
revenue.
Possible revenue, and they're the ones who pay to make sure that it stays illegal. But you know, I use it on a nearly daily basis. So you know, I think about the possibility is there that someday, who knows? You know, so at least I feel like now I got somebody in my corner if it ever happens.
Right.
Well, that's what when I do speak, you know, to these bigger companies and these people who. Feel like, well, we're doing it the legal way. Well, federally, you're all doing it illegally.
Sure.
So if one day they do decide that they want to come knocking at your door because they choose not to, doesn't mean that they can't choose to. So just because they choose not to come knocking at your door and questioning you, and trust me, when the feds knock, they don't wait for you to answer. They're coming in. They're coming in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like you will want somebody out there fighting for you.
Yeah.
Trust me, because I had nobody. I mean, I had my family and you know, attorneys, but they're not invested in me.
Right.
They're getting paid, the attorneys.
Yep.
My family doesn't have the power to help me. So trust me, you would want somebody out there just in your corner and trying to be there. And there's so many awesome people that I've met on this journey. Tina Reichhart, her son Christian is doing a crazy amount of time for cannabis. And this lady goes so hard for her son that I have to admire her. Mm-hmm. I'm drawn to people like that because I wish there was somebody who could have been there for my sister because she was like that. She went hard, but she only went as hard as she knew how.
Sure. Yeah.
You're right. She's feeling do what she thought.
Yeah. Yeah. So when I see moms who go hard for their sons, like Tina and wives who go hard for their husbands, like Brooke Ramirez, her husband Umberto, was one of our constituents. Those are really amazing people who just want their loved ones back. So how can you not do the right thing for them and embrace them and wrap your arms around them and say, what else can we do?
Yeah.
So it's really been a great, great journey. But I would ask like listeners to go to our website, see who we are, see what we're about. When you're asking people to donate their hard-earned money, you deserve to know where that money is going. It's right there on the very first page of our website. You can see everything. Transparency is important when you're asking people to entrust us with your money.
Mm-hmm.
And know that we're going to do the right things with it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a great part about being on the board of directors is I can help guide where the organization's going, what's best for the constituents. Cause at the end of the day, that's all I care about.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Tell us a little bit. You guys do a podcast, correct?
We do a podcast. It's called Just Cannabis.
Yep. Okay.
It's going into its second season. There will be some kind of redoing. The first season was during Women's History Month.
Okay.
Okay.
Was during Women's History Month. So every guest during the season was a woman.
Okay.
So I was on it. Rashida Ashmead was on it. Another constituent, Sarah Gersten, our executive director. So it was kind of a really nice way to pay, you know, homage to the women who are incarcerated and the women who were incarcerated and the women whose loved ones are incarcerated. So it was a great thing. I'm not sure what season two is going to look like.
Okay.
All platforms are great platforms, you know? I watched you guys anyway. So
oh, thank you.
When you guys reached out, I was very excited to take you up on the offer.
Well, obviously, you know better than anybody. It's important to tell your story to as many people as will listen.
Right.
Because if you're not affected by the story you just told us, you're must be dead inside.
Dead inside.
And some people are.
Right. And some people are.
Zombie apocalypse.
Well, it goes back to, I think, what you said, you know, it different than from what we normally have on, but that's what we wanted to have on.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What we're passionate about as well. So,
yeah. Yeah. This is the important stuff. I mean, you know, it's a lot of fun. Some of the interviews we do with comedians and stuff are a lot of fun and we have a great time with them, but it's nice to do the important stuff once in a while too. And actually feel like we're helping our tiny, tiny little bit,
especially in a state
where it
is illegal.
Yeah.
That, now they have somewhere to reach out to.
Yeah.
Now they know that you.
Please.
Yep. You're in California. You're right. Your organization's there, but you help out.
We're nationwide. Everybody lives. Our managing director lives in Hawaii.
Okay.
Some of our policy lives in New Orleans, LA. Like we're New York. We're spread out.
Sure.
So. it works because when there's an event in a certain area, it's great to have presence. We always want to have presence. It's not always possible because we are a relatively small organization. Mm-hmm. So we can't afford to be everywhere, but it's nice when that we're spread out. And if somebody's doing something in the East Coast, we have people on the East Coast, West Coast. I mean, it's one of those things. One of our team members, Dante Westmoreland, who was also a constituent, he got out. He actually just had a Dante Westmoreland Day dedicated to him in Kansas City, Missouri, which is pretty awesome. And now he's doing that work. He's actually working with legal team on Kevin Allen's case. We were able to get Kevin Allen's case resentenced from life. It was a little bit scary about what was going to come back and happen because I know how they play.
Yeah.
So they did come back from life to 35 years hard labor.
Wow. Okay.
He's already been incarcerated 11 years. So whereas that sounds really messed up that they were life to 35, 35 still, that's no. But thankfully Dante is on the case, but he lives in Missouri. So if there's, it was a golf tournament in Missouri. They were like, we'd love to, you know, make you guys the beneficiary. Come on out. You know, well, we appreciate that you're going to make us the beneficiary. Unfortunately, sometimes we have to say no because we don't have anyone in the area. Dante lives by. He was able to go there. So being spread out is really a blessing.
Yeah, yeah, it's a benefit for sure.
But you were in April. Looked like you had a really busy week in New York speaking.
April's busy.
Yeah.
Because it's the time where you can kind of make that impact, like everybody's celebrating 420.
Right.
Yep.
But there's some people who aren't celebrating.
Yeah.
And let me tell you about those people, and let's show some respect to those people who were carrying the plant when, let's face it, a lot of people were afraid to or couldn't, you know. These are the people you called. Well, the people you used to call back then are incarcerated now and they need your help.
Right. Right.
So we have the strains, we have the plants because people did push back against what was legal. Mm-hmm. So some of the new people are like, well, you did it illegally and we're doing it legal. And it's like, well, you wouldn't be able to be doing it legal.
Right.
Yeah, there was a time when it wasn't legal.
Anyway.
And you didn't just pop up with all these plants and all these strains and all this product and all this. So slow your roll, buddy.
Right. Can't we all get along?
Yeah.
I definitely want to get along. I want everybody to really understand that this felony stamp or this criminal stamp, whatever they want to put on us, it just doesn't fit. We're just normal people who were making extra money, supporting their family, just like people are doing with this plant now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right now. Right. Is there any chance of your record getting cleared, do you think?
After I'm off paper,
yeah,
I can pursue expungement for sure.
Okay.
But right now, they don't even want to let me off early. So I'm just riding with it.
You're so close.
I've been through so much.
Yeah.
There's very few things nowadays that can shake me.
I would imagine. Yeah.
Because I laugh at my time I did. And I think there was some ugly times during that, like really ugly times that I experienced.
I bet. Yeah.
There were some fun times. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Like when you're sitting around bored, a lot of crazy things happen. And it's like being at a forever summer camp or something with a lot of girls that you couldn't play with when you were younger. So it's definitely one of those things that I'm always going to be connected to it no matter what.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, you're not part of it, but You don't hide it. You embrace it, and it is, it made you who you are today.
Yeah.
So
I've grown,
and you've grown.
I've grown to do that because
it seems like you turned everything positive.
Before, I was so embarrassed. I was so ashamed. Oh. God, yeah. I felt so stupid. Like, how could I get caught up like this? Now I'm a felon. Like, I'm going to prison. I have to tell people I've been. And then I started to think, okay, and the only people that matter to me in terms of my inner circle are the people who were there for me.
Right.
If you weren't there for me during that time and you bounced on me,
yeah,
you can stay there.
Yep.
It's a great way to thin out the weak links in your life. That's for sure.
I would imagine that is, yeah. You really know who your friends are when it hits the fan like that.
Hell, you know who your family is.
Yeah,
that too. And
all family's not blood, you know?
And I agree.
I say that to say as you get in and you go in and people are concerned about you and people are writing you and people are giving you money. And as the years go on, those people drop off, drop off, drop off, drop off. Then one day you pop up, you're back out. They see him on social media. Oh, hey, girl. No. No, hey, girl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You should have hey, girled me.
Right.
When I was sitting inside.
Yeah.
And don't ever ask anybody in prison. Well, let me know if there's anything I can do.
There's a lot.
I'm in prison. Let me know if you need anything. I need everything. What do you mean? Yeah. I make 12 cents an hour. What do you mean? Yes. I'm trying to save up for a bar of soap. I need help.
So what's the best thing for somebody, just the average person, to do to help out in this? I mean, obviously donate some money. If you got some extra money, put it towards the cause. But what else, what other things can we do?
I mean, yeah, money is great, but really it's the voices. It's the support. Going to our webpage, our website, looking at our take action page. Part of what's going to push this needle is the voices of the people. Those that are in office need to hear our voices. And we do that through the Pen to Write History campaign, through the Pardons to Progress campaign. All of these things, which you can find on the website under Take Action. Having these conversations within your own circle and getting people to actually care about that when they go to the polls.
Yeah.
That matters because if they hear like, oh gosh, this is what the people want, it's not going to come back to bite us in the ass.
Yeah.
People want it.
Right.
They're going to do that. They don't care about it. True. They could care less, honestly. And I don't need them to care. I just need them to bring people home.
Right.
That's true.
So, yeah. So really getting involved in that way, supporting brands that support organizations. And I always say there's Just Us, there's other organizations that people can, if they're like, well, I'm more of a local type girl. Okay. Find somebody locally, but it's really important that we make our voices heard and people can support brands. I know through our partnerships with like Evidence or Farmer and the Felon, they do put our logo on some of their packaging.
Sure.
That's a way to let consumers know like, hey, we're somebody who gives back. So I always tell people when you go into a dispensary, I always ask, do you have any women owned brands?
Okay.
Do you have any social equity brands? You can always buy one of each or whatever you want to do, but just making your voice heard with your dollars as well, because yeah, these are the people who give back. So I always feel it just appropriate to partner with them in that same way.
Sure.
So supporting those brands that actually care.
And to let them grow and then they can donate more.
Go watch a Cheech and Chong movie since they're both ambassadors.
Yes, they're great. I mean, and being an ambassador, like, people don't always have to donate money. Because if you have a platform with millions of followers, we appreciate that as well.
Right.
And we like people to get out the message. If they have anybody or in their life who has been affected or has been arrested and sentenced, get in touch with us, because those are the people we want to help. We really only are known through word of mouth.
Sure.
Like,
sure.
We wouldn't know about these constituents if their families or their friends didn't contact us or they didn't contact us. One of our constituents I speak with, he said that we send a newsletter in, a quarterly newsletter, and everybody really kind of takes part in this newsletter. I do book reviews. I do a book suggestion, okay. And some inspirational quotes or something. That's my section of it. And this guy came out, he said, you know, I used to read all the books you suggested. He was like, my favorite was this. Or so sending those newsletters in, he said, when I was in the shoe, he was the hole, he called it. He said, we used to fish it to each other. You guys would send me the newsletter and then we would fish it. He said, even people who weren't there for cannabis always said, hey man, let me get that newsletter. Let me check it out.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, we work with just cannabis prisoners, but I mean, who knows where that will go? I mean, psychedelics are becoming more and more mainstream now. Yeah, people get arrested for that. So just getting our name behind the wall and letting people know that we are here. Tell your friend, if you know your friend has a cannabis conviction, tell them to hit us up.
Yeah.
So it's really kind of what we're all about. Just really grassroots, and grassroots with good marketing.
Yeah.
We just have a great guy who does our marketing, but definitely grassroots.
Nice.
And that's huge for people. They just don't know where to turn. And if they can hear of something like you, your organization, it's huge for them. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Why don't you tell people where to find you and how we can help and all, you know, where to go to for all that stuff.
Come on over to lastprisonerproject.org. You can follow us on Instagram. It's those small things like that, sharing our posts. Our posts are mostly stats or changes in laws, bills that have passed, just information. Mm-hmm. And sharing that information on your website. I'm still waiting on Ashley to do a photo shoot in our LPP t-shirt, because that will undoubtedly bring some people to the yard.
A few eyes to it, yes.
Just a couple. So really, it's just getting involved, because I didn't think it would be me until it was.
Yeah.
And I don't want other people to miss that opportunity to pass that information on, or that help on, that I didn't have, to anyone they know incarcerated or who's been brought home. And even if you're looking to get into the industry, but you have this in your history, you know, we're working with a lot of partners who say, we want to hire people who've been impacted.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, is that your bud tender program?
No, our bud tender program is basically training our bud tenders about what we do, and arming them with the facts and all the information that they can pass on to somebody who says, well, what is this? I see you have signs. I see you have materials around about this Last Prisoner Project. What is it? Our bud tender program, we do a training course with them through Learn Brands. They created a really awesome course about LPP that the bud tenders can take. We do like giveaways to them, because really we are so grateful, because obviously we can't be in every place, but the bud tenders can. Our Roll It Up for Justice program, if you ever go in a dispensary and they ask you, would you like to donate to cannabis prisoners or something? They need the the knowledge about what we what it is we do before asking someone, hey, do you want to give us a dollar or 420? Like, they can say they're this organization, these are the facts. Like, it's really great. And we give them, try to give them as much incentive and, you know, just really look after them, because they are boots on the ground on the front line, because they're the ones who are talking to people who have no, some people have no idea that people are even incarcerated. So many times I've been at pop-ups and I'll tell people and they'll be like, well, it's legal now. And that's my fear. I don't want people to get so comfortable in going into a beautiful dispensary and purchasing and walking out the door like, you know, it's nothing. I want people to understand that on the other side of that, there's a lot of people doing hard time for doing what this place just did, which is sell you some pot.
Right, right. Exactly.
Well, it's been a joy to talk to you, and your enthusiasm,
guys,
is amazing.
I appreciate you guys, man. It's, some places are, some podcasts are more stuffy than others. You know, some interviews I might do like a New York Times or LA Times or something, or Huffington Post. Like, that's a different vibe.
Yeah.
Or, you know, Good Morning America. That's a different vibe. I was like, I can't wait to get on with these guys. They're great.
We appreciate it more than you know.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to be going on the website when we're done here and buying the piece t-shirt, the camo piece t-shirt, because I love it.
Yeah.
So I will definitely
that be that is much appreciated.
I will I will rep it on a episode of Ask Ashley, and not to toot our own horn, but I will go a tiny little bit. We do manage, we do mention Last Prisoner Project at the end of every episode with her. Try to get the word
Thank
out.
You.
So unless we get a little too, we indulge a little too much and we forget.
We forget.
I really, really do appreciate you guys for making a space for this and bringing it, because some people are like, oh, we just came to see Hooters and get drunk. We're not here to talk. Like,
yeah.
And if they don't to hear this woman's story.
Well, again, it goes back to then they don't have to, but the ones that will listen are the ones that we want to affect. So
right. Well, I appreciate you guys making that space to have these kinds of conversations. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you, Stephanie. And I mean, thank you for sharing your story. It's, you know,
yeah,
like I said, if it doesn't impact you, you're a little dead inside. And so We will do whatever we can to help out. If you ever want to come back on, you know, you ever got stories to tell about some of your constituents, feel free to let us know. We would love to continue to help out however we can.
As you grow and get bigger, we want to grow with you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate it, guys.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
Have a great night.
Thank you so much.
Bye, guys. Bye. Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you for listening. The tavern is closed for now, but we'd love to have you back for more fun next time. Seriously, though, get your asses out of here.
Mile, are you ready to record our promo for season 2 of the Wanna Bet podcast?
David, have you ever seen a grown man naked?
Miles, we're not here to quote lines from Airplane. We're here to tell people that season 2 starts August 18th.
But I like Airplane.
I know you do, but Wanna Bet is a sports betting podcast. Each week we bet $1,000 on the NFL teams and games that we love.
Well, that sounds like fun.
It is fun. And last year you picked over 60% of your games correctly.
How'd you do?
We're not talking about that. We are telling people that they can find us every Friday. So no more movie quotes.
Roger, roger.
Electric acid.
Hey there, I'm DC. I host the Rock Podcast, Back to the Arena, The Interviews. It's about a 30-minute podcast where I talk one-on-one with a band who has released new music. You can find us on all the best podcast sites like Spotify, Apple, Google, iHeartRadio, and more. If you're a rock fan like me, subscribe today to Back to the Arena, The Interviews.
Electric Acid. Podcast.